Bonjour.
Welcome to this new episode of So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris.
We also say a special bonjour to all of you reached through World Radio Paris, the digital radio station in the Paris region. So French is broadcast every second Saturday on at 5:30 p.m. and then rebroadcast throughout the week. We are very happy with this collaboration, sorry. And we hope you will also check out the rest of the WRP's programs.
And this week, well, with the second round of the presidential election coming up in just a little over 1 week, we scratch our heads and take a closer look at what actually happened and what to expect. And we also ask the question why Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the far-left candidate who did really, really well, refuses to encourage his voters to vote against Marine Le Pen.
And of course, Maud Descamps brings us a fresh French word of the day. And since a couple of weeks, So French has a very famous neighbor. Stay tuned to find out whom we're talking about.
Il est 20h et vous le voyez, Marine Le Pen et Emmanuel Macron sont qualifiés pour le second tour, mais ils sont à ex-aequo.
Voici les résultats de ce premier tour. C'est Emmanuel Macron qui est arrivé en tête à 23,7%. Marine Le Pen est en deuxième position à 21,7%. Vous voyez apparaître les QG des deux.
But first, of course, the first round of the presidential election took place about a week ago. Two winners, not very surprising because the polls were indicating that these persons were going to win, Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen. There were some surprises, of course. The very good score of Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the left-wing candidate, and the horrible score of the socialist candidate Benoît Hamon. The voters punished, I think, François Hollande and his party, the Socialist Party, for 5 years of, well...
something that they think that they did not vote for, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, of course, that's the French tradition. The persons who lost, they tend to give an advice to their voters for whom they will vote. Most of them did. Even François Fillon told his voters to vote for Macron.
He did that very, very quickly after the results were announced.
Absolutely, a couple of minutes even. But there's one outsider, of course, and that's Jean-Luc Mélenchon. He's the extreme left-wing candidate. He got almost 20% of the votes.
Yeah, 19.5%. A little bit more even.
Yeah, something like that. But it's the best score he has ever got. And he refuses to endorse Macron. Of course, not Marine Le Pen either, but he doesn't give any advice to his voters. Now, a lot of people say that this is a very bad attitude, that there should be a Front Républicain.
The Front Républicain that we're talking about here in France is something, it's a Republican front that has been used in other elections to block out the National Front. It has been used on local levels, on regional levels, which is that the sort of mainstream candidates back the other mainstream candidate against the National Front. And this was used in 2002 when Jean-Marie Le Pen, the father of Marine Le Pen, went through to the second round. And it allowed Jacques Chirac, the mainstream candidate, to win the second round of the election with 82% of the vote.
Almost a dictatorial scores.
Yeah, and it has been, I mean, the Republican Front is a known phenomenon here in France, and it has been used and it has almost always been successful.
Yeah. Now, Jean-Luc Mélenchon does not want to put in place a Republican Front. Why is that, do you think?
Well, I think there are probably several reasons for it. He is saying that he's, of course, saying no to Marine Le Pen, that he is considering his main opponent and main enemy in the political world. But he is refusing to give his endorsement to Emmanuel Macron, who he also considers not on the same level, I think, but also as one of his main opponents.
And that because he's an ultra-liberalist in French terms. Macron is the enemy of the market.
Exactly,
economy.
And a very opposite political program to the one Jean-Luc Mélenchon is fighting for. But this has caused quite a bit of a stir here in France, must say. Many being very, very upset with Jean-Luc Mélenchon not endorsing. And also because Jean-Luc Mélenchon was the candidate who in 2002 was yelling at others who would not vote, who would not endorse Jacques Chirac against Marine Le Pen at that point in time. Now he's saying, well, the context is different, things have changed, it's not the same world. But I mean, people are very, very upset. At the same time, he now has a much bigger, I mean, he has a big electorate, almost 20%.
Yeah.
So it's not... It's not nothing.
It's not a marginal figure anymore. And the other thing is that, well, he says the times have changed, which is true, because Marine Le Pen now is absolutely, you could consider it a normal party in the sense that she is really competing, and everybody expected that she was going to make the second round. And another proof that the times have changed is that in 2002, when Jean-Marie Le Pen was voted in the second round. There was a huge demonstration not only in Paris, but other large cities. Over 1 million people went to the streets. And this week, Marine Le Pen got to the second round, and there were just a couple of hundred people who went to the Place de la République in Paris to demonstrate. So this also shows that the French basically accepted Marine Le Pen in politics.
This has been an evaluation. This has been something that's been going on over more than a decade.
Absolutely.
And we've seen in all the elections the score of National Front being bigger and higher and higher. So yes, it has become part of the mainstream political landscape.
And yet there's still a lot of politicians and also journalists who say, oh, now she's coming, look what's happened. But it's indeed already going on for many, many years. What's interesting, there has been some research this week to show where the voters would go from all the losers. And Mélenchon's interesting because almost a third of his voters will not go to the polls next week. So they are just probably disillusioned. About 20% might go to Marine Le Pen, and the rest is not really clear. The other, 40-50% may go to Macron. But what do the voters of Mélenchon think about the fact that he is not giving any endorsement for this election?
Well, we decided to find out with one of Jean-Luc Mélenchon's voters. His name is Antoine Bourgu. Antoine, I'm going to start by asking you a very simple question. Well, maybe it could be a simple question. I'm going to start by asking you a very clear choice next week. Macron or Marine Le Pen, what is your choice?
Of course not Marine Le Pen. Of course not. Marine Le Pen is the head of a racist and fascist party who was created in the 70s and who is still as racist as it was before. The words they use now are much more clean than they were. No more racist words, no more racist speeches. But in the meantime, it's all the same. So it can't be Marine Le Pen. But the thing is, it will probably be Macron. I don't know exactly what I'm going to vote, actually. Of course, not Marine Le Pen.
But why is it not? If it's, of course, not Marine Le Pen, it should be an easy choice then, because there's only one other candidate.
Yes, but the thing is, it's a difficult time and it's a difficult question because, in fact, as you know, the French presidential election is in two runs. And actually, we are only having one because there is no choice for the second run. The choice is between Macron, which is a liberal, which is what I would call the illegitimate son of Thatcher and Blair. And we have on the far right, we have Marine Le Pen, and this is only the choice we have.
But with the far right in a second round, many are saying that this is not any election, and many were also surprised that Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the leader of the La France Insoumise, did not endorse Emmanuel Macron. Was this a surprise to you?
There shouldn't be any surprise about this. Jean-Luc Mélenchon always said that Marine Le Pen is a danger, she's a fascist, and she's racist. So his position about her is quite clear. About Macron, he always said that Macron is a liberal and that all the liberal politics that were, made by Hollande and before him Sarkozy and before him Chirac. I think they really are responsible for the fact that last Sunday, 7.5 million people voted for Le Pen. So it's quite difficult, actually, to say I will vote for Macron. I despise Le Pen and I really don't like Macron. So this is really a hard choice, really.
But don't you think that by not choosing between these two candidates, you're actually being part of the normalization of Le National Front and Marine Le Pen by saying that they're actually the same, Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen?
Wait a minute. I don't say that Macron equals Marine Le Pen, okay? As I cannot accept that people say that Mélenchon equals Marine Le Pen, I don't consider at all that Macron and Marine Le Pen are the same. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to vote for Macron. I am just saying that I will vote for, you know, the candidate I like and I want. It probably be Macron or not, I don't know. I just don't want anybody to tell me what I must vote. This is as simple as that. And let me tell you something. I'm pretty sure that most of the people who voted for Jean-Luc Mélenchon will, in the end, vote for Macron or vote against Le Pen, if you prefer. The only thing they don't want to hear is people calling them that and telling them that they must vote for Macron. You must vote. You have no choice because, you know, it's democracy against fascism. Well, let me tell you, things are way more complicated than that. Because we consider, and I consider, that the politics of Macron and all the likes are precisely one of the explanations of the highest score of Marine Le Pen. Of course, there is people who vote Marine Le Pen because they are racist, because they are nostalgic of the Vichy regime. No doubt. But most of these people are just desperate. And their desperation is growing and growing and growing. And we don't need to make a dam, because this is what people ask us to do. We don't need to make a dam against these ideas and against these voters. We have to fight these ideas. We have to fight back the National Front. This is what we have to do.
I have one final question for you. Marine Le Pen is now trying, and she's really gone fishing for the voters from the La France Insoumise by saying that, you know, look at this, our programs are very much the same. But you're telling me now that you think that there is a very, very small minority of the voters, those who voted for Mélenchon, that would actually go to Marine Le Pen.
You know, the leaflets that the France Insoumise are printing today are all saying no vote, not a vote for Le Pen. Okay? So it cannot be more clear. And you just say, vote for Macron, you just say, don't vote for Le Pen, which, you know, you don't have to be an engineer or to have a high school degree to understand what it means. But the thing is, people, I don't think that anybody who voted for Mélenchon would buy a second would buy the idea that the programs of Marine Le Pen and Jean-Luc Mélenchon are very close. They are absolutely not.
That was Antoine. He voted for Jean-Luc Mélenchon in the first round, but he's not sure for whom he's going to vote in the second round on May 7th. Just like many of his fellow French citizens.
Vous écoutez So French.
You are listening to So French.
And now we're going to talk about feelings. Yeah, Sarah, you and me both come from two of the world's happiest countries.
True, I think.
The Netherlands and Sweden.
Well, we've been a long time in France. So I don't know if our personal well-being
exactly.
is...
but at least we grew up in pretty happy countries. I think the Swedish and the Dutch kids are the happiest in the world. But we've both been living here for many, many years. So maybe we have lost our optimism. Because France is probably the most depressed country in the world. There are researchers that show that even in Iraq
really?
And Afghanistan, people are more optimistic about the future than the French are. So this also played a part in the outcome of the first round of the elections, right?
Yeah, it's actually some quite interesting statistics that have come out that shows that the well-being or the people's experienced well-being and, you know, whether if they're optimistic about the future or pessimistic about the future, had a big role in the election and in the results, showing that people who are optimistic had a much bigger tendency to vote for Emmanuel Macron, and those being pessimistic having a tendency to vote for Marine Le Pen. Well, you could say, if you look at other demographics, of course, Marine Le Pen has a bigger part and chunk of the working class vote, for mm-hmm. example. And you can say people having less money, more likely for a lower education and more likely to be unemployed and have, you know, a difficult life situation. So yes, of course, you're more likely to be pessimistic. But here comes the interesting part, that even if you take out these factors, so if you look at people who have a high income and who voted for Marine Le Pen, they're more likely to be pessimistic than those who are low income and voted for Emmanuel Macron.
So it is really decisive the way you see
well,
the world.
Well, it isn't the only deciding factor, of course, but it's this study that I saw shows that it's as important as, for example, education or income.
Okay, so that's interesting because... of course, Marine Le Pen, we've seen that also in other countries. I think one of the reasons a lot of people don't believe in politics anymore is that there are a lot of politicians who promise a lot and then, you know, they don't live up their promises. And so people are disappointed. And Marine Le Pen doesn't really promise a lot, but she tells that she's going to get rid of a lot of stuff. So
you
it's
don't
not,
think she promises a lot?
Well,
I think she promises a lot. She's
she
going to bring back all the work that has been gone to you know,
yeah, sure, by,
elsewhere.
By destructing. I think it's easier to destroy something like everything that's in place, the European Union, international rules and so on, than to promise that you're bringing openness and new jobs. So she has a very negative rhetoric, whereas Macron has an optimistic rhetoric, and most of the people who still believe in politics, they're more likely, I think, to vote for Macron. But it's very interesting. Maybe if everybody took some Prozac, etc., there would be more voters for Macron.
Maybe that's one.
But the French are already taking a
champions
lot
of champions of the Prozac
again. You know, France is not such not doing so badly at all. Finally, so yeah, that's an interesting fact. Optimistic people vote for Emmanuel Macron, whereas pessimists tend to prefer Marine Le Pen. And it's time for our So French word. Maud, bonjour.
Hi, Stephen.
What have you chosen for us this week?
Yes, sondage, which means opinion poll. So, well, as you know, they play a very important part during the election period. But they also have had a pretty bad reputation this past elections because most of them were wrong about the predictions. We witnessed it during the presidential election. No one predicted Donald Trump. And well, this time, the opinion polls were right about the French presidential election. They almost got everything right, in fact. The order of the candidates, first Emmanuel Macron, second Marine Le Pen, third François Fillon, and then. But they also got right the percentage of votes each one got. So, enough about the news. Let's have a look now at the roots of the word sondage. According to my dictionary, the first meaning of the word was in the 18th century, the examination of the soil or of the ground with a probe. Then in the 19th century, it was the action of throwing a probe into the water to get information from the deeps. And, well, the verb sonder, from the word sondage, actually comes from the Latin subundare, which means diving. So we can see here the connection between the Latin roots and the meaning of the word sondage. So I did a bit of research about the history of the sondage and the political opinion polls. And the very first opinion polls on politics actually appeared in the 30s in the United States, thanks to the journalist George Gallup, who created the American Institute of Political Opinion. It was in 1936. And in France, the first opinion polls about politics were in 1938. They were done by the IFOP, which still exists today and which is one of the biggest opinion poll institutes based here in Paris.
Thank you very much, Maud Descamps. That was with the French word of the day, sondage. Now, we've had a visitor to Paris this week, Stéphane, and I think my 13-year-old me would say a very, very important visitor as well. Tell me, tell our listeners.
Well, you probably recognize the music. It's the intro theme of Mission Impossible. In the area of the Sofrench studio, the 13th arrondissement in Paris, roads have been blocked. Helicopters were hovering above the streets. It was pretty exciting, actually, because Tom Cruise is in town to film the 6th episode already of Mission Impossible. He is still there. He will be staying for over a month with his whole team. It's a very huge economic impact, but also, of course, very good publicity for the city of Paris. He came here. He filmed a scene on the Ministry of Finance. Now, that sounds really boring because what happens in the ministry?
But I just see Mission Impossible could impossibly be boring.
Well, Emmanuel Macron is from the Ministry of Finance, so his mission was almost impossible as well. But the interesting thing is that the architecture is really interesting because it is on the banks of the River de Seine. And on top of the roof, there's a helicopter platform where you can land with a helicopter. So probably there are many stunts with a helicopter and Tom Cruise on top of the finance ministry. And speaking of finances, the reason is here. And speaking of finance, the reason that he is in Paris is probably not only because it's such a lovely city and a great city to make movies in, but also because the state has a new fiscal advantage rule for film production since last year. There already existed in many countries like Belgium and the Czech Republic and in Prague and Hungary. There are a lot of international films being made because they're fiscal advantages. Now, the French did a similar thing. If you invest in cinema here in France, then you pay very little in taxes and you get a lot of advantages. Apart from the fact, of course, that Paris is still the number two or three movie capital in the world after Hollywood and Bollywood. But to give you an idea, Tom Cruise is investing 25 million euros in those months in here in France. 400 French people will work on that film. And that's, of course, very important in a time when there's a lot of unemployment. So international productions, they have tripled in over a year thanks to these tax incentives.
Interesting also to see how these productions have actually gone up, even in spite of the, for example, the terrorist attacks and the security situation in France and in Paris in particular, where you could sort of expect maybe these big productions to be a little bit reticent because of, you know, the extra measures they will have to, to put in place for security reasons.
But yes, and shortly after the attacks, the city of Paris said we would no longer allow film shootings with guns, for instance, because people may become afraid. But then last year, it was a horrible year for tourism. I think they changed their policy and they now realize that it is very important, of course, for the city to attract a lot of movie teams.
And for the image of France and Paris in general, I must say, I mean, big blockbusters like Mission Impossible showing Paris is, of course, you know,
of course,
contributing to the
glory. Yeah, absolutely. And it should be said that it's not only money. The film industry in France is really one of the best in the world, very high tech, a lot of very skilled people, very good infrastructure. For instance, in the north of the city, there's a huge complex of studios. It was built by Luc Besson, the famous French director. This year he filmed there a science fiction series, Valerian, the most expensive European film ever made. And interestingly enough, there was also the film Jackie, about Jackie Kennedy, that was entirely filmed in those studios in the north of Paris.
A very, very American movie.
Very American film, yeah.
On all levels.
And they even recreated the area of Dallas where John Kennedy was assassinated in those studios in Paris. So you see, it's a big business. It's good news for the city. Although in the case of the film Jackie, there was another reason they were filming it in Paris, because at that time, Natalie Portman, the famous actress, she was living here. So it was very convenient. But nevertheless, the film industry in France is doing really well, thanks to incentives. And also, that's one of the reasons why we had the famous neighbor this week, Tom Cruise.
But last question, did you see him?
No, I didn't, because all the streets were sealed off. There were huge security measures, there were photos in the press, of course, because it was in the middle of the city, so people still live here and they took photos. But it was really well protected. But the images I saw, they look really, really spectacular. So we have to wait till next year for the release of Mission Impossible 6. Well, that wraps up this political edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, SoundCloud, or in the TuneIn radio application. And to share the podcast with your friends. If you like French music, check out our playlist on Spotify, which we update regularly. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French, that will be with the new president in France.
Yes, indeed. Who would you put your money on?
I'll put my money on Macron.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for listening.
Au revoir.